listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest, back-to-back Stanley Cup champion, NHL defenseman, Luke Shen. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to Nasty Knuckles. What's happening, Nasty?
Not too much, Rigorilla. How you feeling, buddy, after the big tournament this weekend playing and plus adding a couple games on with some Flyer alumni stuff? How's the body feeling, buddy?
Still a little tender, man. Yeah, still recovering. Lower back, groins, chest.
Your back. Is your back broken?
The old bulged disc was coming back around. That's what it felt like. So it feels better today. Yes, spinal. Tight groins, man. A little bit of everything. Yeah, haven't skated that hard for a long time. Five games this weekend, and at least three of them were a little bit higher pace than I've been used to. So how about you? You're a young man.
I'm feeling pretty dang good, man. It's hoops yesterday and today.
Hooping it up, yeah. Of course you're
hooping it up. Not a big bizzle, you know.
No.
It was a great tournament though, man. Checking for charity.
Yeah, a lot of fun
this past weekend. We had a lot of fun. We were fortunate enough and honored to have a lot of the Philadelphia Warrior guys invite us to play along with our buddy Kobe Cohen and Pete Zingoni.
Yeah,
Zingomanis still buzzing around out there.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of fun though. I had fun. Got to play with you a little bit. I wish we could have stayed on the same line. It's a lot easier to play with someone that can actually play. Like when you're bad like me, I should say. You know, like the other guys are probably like, oh man, I'm stuck with Nass.
Man, you did good, man. You got composure. You got composure with the puck, man.
Composure, but I didn't put one in the basket though, man. That's the first time I played in that tournament, didn't score. But we didn't score a lot of goals.
No, we didn't. No, I neither did I.
We really didn't score a lot of goals.
Yeah, that was a pretty good quality division we were in there. I mean, there were some real legitimate players. And
I mean, our little buddy there, when you're heading up against Danny Briere, you know, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Which division are we in, man?
Oh, I know.
Danny B buzzing around out there. And all four teams were good though. Like that was I guess it was good we were put in that division. We would have been a little bit lower division, but the way they did it, one of the guys said, hey, we didn't come in fifth. We came in fourth at least. There were only four teams, but fun, man.
Oh yeah. No, it was a good time. Playing a little bit of that adult league with you there, the pace was certainly higher. So I just, not quick. Used to, I don't know, your body just, you know, adapts, but I mean, you feel it, you definitely feel the next day. But yeah, it was a awesome opportunity with those Warrior guys. A lot of fun. A lot of
those guys.
Boys are emotional, you know.
They are. It got heated.
Love the spirit. It did get heated. A couple of those games, man. I thought we were for sure tilling it up there.
I know. It was. I saw that little bit of twitch in the eye there one time.
I try not to go there. I was been really, really trying to just let it flow and just play.
You gotta breathe, Meg. But you and Max Talbot, you're breathing, man. You gotta breathe, boys. But you were breathing. But
I was breathing.
Really,
yeah, I was breathing some
heavy
fire
because you were pissed.
Back to back, Max, man.
I guess the
only thing holding me back or holding the situation back from actual fight happening was his ability to say yes. And it was like, waiting for it. And if he said yes, we were fighting. It wasn't like,
I actually thought you guys were going to fight. Like,
I actually thought for a second, I thought so too. I was looking in his eyes. He had the cage on. I was like, this guy looks like he might fight. And then he was like, no, what do you mean?
What'd you do?
I think the original look that I seen on his face was like the shock that I was actually calling him out on it or something, you know, but whatever.
Well, it was funny because you probably didn't realize it because you were heated, but the puck had been dropped and play was going on and you were like blocking him from going anywhere. So like play had gone on for like 10 seconds and everyone's watching you. And then one of their guys had the puck and they were just kind of waiting, you know, like, and then play started, like everybody just started playing again. It was kind of funny without the whistle ever blowing. But anyway, it was a fun weekend, even though we didn't grab a win. Playing with those guys, they're just a great group of dudes, man. Love all those guys. And I can't thank them enough for inviting us to play with them. That's for sure.
All right. And overall, great weekend. Happy we got the invite from the boys. And
yeah,
got our sweat on, got emotional, got sore, still recovering, but all good.
I'll tell you one thing we have to mention, and you were the one that said it, was obviously in hockey, everyone knows that who at any level in a locker room, that's where so much fun happens in there. Just the ball busting. Those guys go to the heart.
Oh, daggers. Yeah.
They throw
I said it after the first game. Like, wow, you guys are really serious. Like,
Big Dev went after someone. I can't remember who he was giving it to. And then you were like, whoa, you guys are going for the heart, man. you know, they were all laughing. They were like, oh, that's nothing.
Yeah,
like,
it's nothing. Yeah.
Boy, that hurts some feelings in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, especially today.
But those guys are great. I played golf with Duff and Dev and Eddie a while back. And they were just giving it to each other. I was like, this reminds me a lot of what I've been around my whole life. But anyway, that was, like you said, a great weekend. Honor to play with those guys. So
yeah, no doubt. And just getting primed up for the big ball hockey tournament, right? We obviously got to get in shape and get the blood flowing. You got to get the legs moving and snapping the biscuit around.
See how it is. Yeah, see how your back's feeling after you're running around that court.
Oh, man, I can't wait. It'll be a different type of tightness. Awesome. Yep.
Yeah, it sure will. Yep. Maybe you can lead some yoga stretches before our games.
That's an absolute. Yeah.
For our team. Got to limber up. Everybody, remember, please check it out. Please register for September 11th.
8 a.m. Malta.
Yep.
Great Malton, day. Bring your family. All kinds of stuff going on.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And I just want to touch on fans of Philly.
Yes. A
couple more dates added. Yeah. We're participating in at least two of the longer trips there. Nashville, now Arizona. I think Buffalo they added. Great. And maybe one more. Seattle. So check out Fans of Philly, big partnership there. Really appreciate their support and some local stuff. Man, we're talking some local stuff. Look out, Fans of Philly.
Fans of Philly, local stuff. And then we also have some news coming up in the next week with our boy Danny Moore Wildwood at Keenan's. We have something set up with them. Figuring out the exact date. It's one of 2 days. We'll let everybody know once it's settled, but can't wait to get down there with all our buddies at Keenan's. Great people.
Yeah.
Danny Moore. He'll have that place rocking before we even walk in.
Some old faces. Some South Philly.
Oh, yeah.
South Philly beauticians. Danny Moore.
Beautician. That is the truth.
All right, dude. Well, let's get rocking.
Let's do it, man.
Episode 37 with the man, 2-time back-to-back Stanley Cup champ, Luke Shen.
Back-to-back, baby.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we are very lucky and fortunate to have back-to-back Stanley Cup winner, our main man, Mr. Luke Shen. Shenner, what is up? Are you mucking right now? And what kind of buck are you wearing? Because you should have mine on, brother. What's up, bud?
You know what? Hey, I should have your bucky on. Mine got a little sweaty, though. I wore that like around the dressing room and stuff. Dude. So I'm looking for another shipment. So hopefully you hook me up.
But, I got to thank you. I will. I got to give him some new colors now. We'll get into that later. But I do have to thank him again. He wore my hat on stage at the Stanley Cup Finals last year. And I tell you, I got at least over 50 text messages with the picture and the link. And I was like almost teared up, man. I was like, oh my God, it was the greatest. I can't thank you enough for that, man. I really, really can't. That was awesome, man.
Yeah, no, no. I mean, y'all have to get their shipment, obviously. Love everything what you're doing right now. But yeah, no, to answer your question from before, yeah, I'm out in Kelowna now for the summer. Just got back from Tampa a few weeks ago, or I guess probably about a month ago now. And enjoying the last little bit of summer, what's left here, and kind of already back at the grind as far as skating and training and camps around the corner. So it's been a crazy couple of years. The last summer, obviously, you know, we're in the bubble the whole summer. Yeah. And so, you know, didn't really have a summer last year. And then this year we come back pretty much beginning of August, you know, with the finals going so late this year.
Yeah.
So, it's just been like go, 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 which, hey, you wouldn't trade it for the world, but it's been fun and, whirlwind and, you know, you couldn't even draw it or dream it any better than how it's worked out. So it's been quite the ride.
Yeah. Congratulations on, yeah, on your successes there. Yeah. It's awesome.
Unbelievable. Nice. Couldn't be happier, man, for you. That's just, it's amazing, man. You know, when your brother was fortunate enough to win, like, God, we were just so happy. And then you get one, I'm like, this is sick, you know, like, and then you got to throw another one at him. Now he's got to try to catch you, man. He's got to try to get one because you're holding it. You got the lead right now, but you're the older brother. You should.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it would have been sweet if we would have won it together, that's for sure.
I would have loved that because that means I would have been there for it. I would have loved that.
I know, but I know, you know what, it's crazy how it worked, though. Like, obviously, you always dream of, you know, winning the Stanley Cup. And when Braden, obviously, you know, went to the finals in St. Louis, we went down to game 5, 6, and 7. And, you know, going to that game 7, it was like, I was a nervous wreck watching. I'm like, younger brother, right? And, is, you know, it's crazy. People always ask me, you know, if there's jealousy or anything like that, knowing that we both played in the league. And it was just, I wanted him to get that thing so bad. And, you know, we got on the ice after and celebrating and hugging. It was just like the most wildest moment that, you know, your younger brother has his name on the cup. And right after that, it was like a couple of weeks free agency came around and Tampa called. And that was right after they got swept in the first round of Columbus. And I, you know, just kind of figured like, you know, they'd be a hungry team coming back and have so much talent throughout that lineup and great goaltending and coaching and the whole thing. And I was like, what, like, is this my chance? Like, so, you know, it was crazy how right after Braden won that I got the chance to go to Tampa. And like you said, now it's been a couple of unbelievable years, but I was so pumped that Braden got it, but you know, right after that happened, I was like, "Hey, how do I get my name on this?"
Yeah, that's right. Well, you got it on there twice now, boy. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Yeah, that I couldn't imagine the feeling. I wish I knew it, but so happy for you anyway, man. Just unbelievable, and the way, like you said, with this whole damn last 2 years with the COVID and everything.
Yeah.
The way the seasons worked out, and now, like you said, you just finished, man. It has to feel like to you it was a few days ago. And now you got to turn around and get yourself prepared to get into another season. Can't imagine that's easy, but I'm sure you're ready and excited for it. Anyway, a new team, just signed a 2-year deal. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Heading back to Van. So
yeah, it's interesting, you know, like, I mean, obviously I've been on some teams where you lose in the past and you know, rather you can attest to this too. It's like, when you're in one of those losing teams, everyone kind of, you know, has a tougher go. You know, when you're older guy, free agent, you know, and obviously, you know, especially more of a like a depth guy too, it's like, well, those guys are usually more replaceable, right? And then you get on a winning team and everyone just kind of finds their role and has their little niche on the team. And, you know, so many more doors open up. So it's crazy, you know, even from a couple of years ago when you're actually younger, but you're coming off, you know, a losing season from a team standpoint, you're kind of fighting a little bit harder, I would say, to get that next opportunity.
Right.
And then you have a team success and everyone, you know, gets rewarded for it. Guys obviously stay, get contracts, and, you know, guys who move on into free agency, like, everyone just kind of wants that experience. So, like I said, no one can ever take that away from you. It's pretty special. And just super, super lucky to be a part of that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's funny you mentioned that is because it's so true. And the big rig, Patty Maroon, we've had him on here before.
Yeah.
I actually had the luxury of coaching him with the Phantoms back in the day. But his story is very, it's very similar as far as, you know, some rough teams early on, some, you know, lack of success, and then eventually found his groove, wins a cup, and now he's rolling on 3. And, you know, you talk about depth guy, but I mean, very important depth guys, right? I mean, yeah, they're replaceable, but it's hard to find. Like, I mean, you're kind of like the defenseman version of him. I almost feel like you're a big body that's like a glue guy that, you know your role and you're accepting of your role and you don't think that you're something you're not at that point of your career. And,
right.
And you just roll with it, right? And you have success and you have fun, and that's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, you know, you're not looking to go in and, you know, you're looking to just kind of be a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah,
exactly. You kind of stay in your lane. You know what your role is. But man, oh man, Patty, I know you guys have chatted with him and stuff, and he's one of a kind. Hey, like for him to get three in a row is just incredible.
It's incredible.
Oh, and like,
a couple weeks ago, Lukey, he's playing in a roller hockey tournament. I don't know if you saw that. But some of my buddies played against him. He just right after you guys won, he's out there playing.
But he just like, he's just like you said, he's like the glue guy in the dressing room where like nothing's too serious. And then like, you know, all of a sudden you kind of need like a big moment in the game. And Big Rig's got the puck down low in the corner for like an hour or like a minute and a half.
Yeah, right.
You know, he chips in on like the game winning assist. And you're like, and then on top of that, like, you know, just the day to day stuff in the intermissions before games, he's just, awesome to have around. Like you said, you need those type of guys, but he's one of a kind. I mean, like you guys know him, and you know, I even like, we live on in Tampa, a lot of guys live in Davis Island, which is like a little island just to the right of downtown. And on this island, you can drive golf carts around to each other's houses, only on the island though. And so you kind of, you know, grab a bottle of wine, you go to your teammates, and you just kind of buzz around in the golf cart, you know, take your kids to each other's pools, and it's just a great lifestyle. That's but awesome. I was getting my golf cart picked up at the end of the year. He's like, "Are you coming back next year?" And I'm like, "I'm not sure. This is before free agency." And he goes, "Well, if you want, I'm doing up custom golf carts for some of the boys, and Patty Maroon just threw in a request for me." And I'm like, "Oh God, like what's Patty driving around in now?" So he's getting it all done up on the passenger side. He's got a big cup with the Blues logo in on it. Driver's side, two cups with the Bolts logo. And on the front, it says in bold capital letters, "The Big Rig." Yeah. And underneath, it says "back to back to back."
Of course.
And he's going to be buzzing around Tampa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So like, just working it. So like everyone knows who he is. And he loves
I love that guy.
That is beautiful. Hey, roll with it, you know? Why not?
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised that he's doing that. He is a beautiful human. To see him come from where he left off when we had him in Adirondack at the time. We essentially kicked him off the team and sent him home packing, and then this guy goes on to have success, you know, you say year after year, and then eventually, you know, squeeze in three Stanley Cups in a row. I mean,
shove it up
the organization's ass tenfold. But
yeah,
I love to see you root for guys like that and, you know, have success. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? I mean, having fun and winning.
I mean, that's you could write a movie about the guy, like you said. Yeah. There's that's a cool thing, you know, when you win the cup, it's guys like him, and you know, there's all the different sort of stories and adversities guys face, and you know, everyone expects, you know, your career to just be a straight out right to the top, and you know, you retire, you go out as a champion. But in reality, it's, you know what, like it's a freaking roller coaster. It's like ups and downs, and you find yourself in some spots where you're like, how the hell am I going to get out of this? But you just keep grinding and working, and, you know, not to sound cheesy or nothing, but you keep like, you know, believing in yourself or whatever, and eventually think, you know, it's not shoving it up anyone's ass, but you want to get out of it yourself and not be, you know, get out of that pigeonhole sort of spot that you're in sometimes. So that's the cool thing about winning, is there's so many stories like that that come to the surface, and you know, that's what makes it so special.
Yeah. Well, talk about your version, because I mean, before you signed the first year in Tampa, I think you'd played 10 years in the NHL, and you found yourself maybe up and down in the American League, and probably two of the biggest shitholes in the American Hockey League, Utica and Syracuse. But then, you know, that could be that adversity you're talking about, you know, that storyline you're talking about is like, for a lot of guys, that's the end of the road, right? This is it. But then you landed up signing and then winning.
Like it was, you know, It's interesting how the career has gone. Like, I mean, started out like, you know, as a high pick, and kind of, I feel like as a young guy in the high pick, you give benefit of the doubt a lot of the time. Like you have some good promising moments, and then sometimes you struggle, but it's like, well, he's just young. Like, let's just keep working with him. But then it comes to a point where, you know, you kind of start to get, if you keep struggling, or, you know, even just not even going up, living up to expectations a little bit, then you kind of get written off a little bit. And that's kind of, you know, it happened in Anaheim, like you said, for the first time. I think I was, like you said, 10 years into my career and 29 years old. I remember I got put on waivers for the first time. And, you know, I'm not going to go name names, but someone within the organization is like, well, are you really going to go to the minors? Like, you're 29, you played 10 years. Like, why would you start now, essentially? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? This, and the one person told me, like I said, I don't need any names, but it's like, well, I think the game's probably passed you by. It's probably the end of the road. Like, you know, and I kind of looked and I was like, first of all, I wanted to, you know, jump
drill them. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Second of all, you come home and you're like, fuck, is he right? Like, I don't know. Like, but then you just, and then I went down to San Diego for the first time, and Dallas Eakins was the coach down there, and he worked with me, and eventually ended up getting a, you know, grinding back and got a trade to Vancouver. And like you said, had to start in Utica for a few games and then got to Vancouver and, you know, kind of worked my way up. And then I signed in Tampa and thinking, like, you know, I just got back to the NHL and same thing, waivers out of like two games after preseason and training camp, like not even enough to make a decision based on play. It was all related to salary cap. So then same thing, you find yourself back down there. And I'm like, at this point too, I had a three-year-old son, you know, Jess, my wife, was pregnant. And I'm like, okay, she's in Tampa. What am I going to go to Syracuse for the year? Like, or bring her to Syracuse to get called back up to Tampa? Like, how is this even going to work? So
right.
That was one thing about the organization in Tampa is Julian Breezeau. He's very, you know, good communicator and, you know, had some good conversations. And eventually, like you said, play good, work your way up and get an opportunity. But yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting road for sure. And, you know, you have to work on a lot of things. And the one other blessing in disguise too is when I first got traded to Utica, I actually got in contact with Adam Oates, and he's worked with, I think he's got probably currently about 50 NHL players right now.
Yeah.
And just totally, you know, I tell anyone this, like, he saved my career. It's the way he teaches the game and explains things and kind of got me to I don't want to say like, reinvent yourself, because that's not really the right word. You can't just reinvent. Like, I'd love to be a power play guy, but you can't. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, you can be both.
you got to evolve, right? Like, over time, the game's evolving, right? So
changes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there's some different things that we're able to work on and correct, and like, I'm still working to this point. So that was huge for me too. Is you got to kind of find ways if you're not getting better, other guys are, and I'm lucky to kind of get a second chance.
Wow, it's. We both know you and I know you as a person, and it doesn't surprise me at all the way this story has gone, just because the guy you are. But going back to what you just said, you know, you started Toronto, your fifth overall pick. It's a lot of pressure on in any organization, but dude, you're in Toronto. I mean, that's like the Mecca. Did you feel that pressure, or did they kind of protect you? I don't think we ever really talked about that. I've known you for quite a while. And I just, we were kind of talking today. I said, that's gotta be tough, man, going in there and, you know, you're 18 years old and you're in Toronto. I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah. It's like kind of, you understand it, but you don't understand it because you're so young. Like, I think I got drafted. And you go up on the TSN panel or whatever, right after doing the media, I had the jersey on for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's already a bunch of cameras in your face. And they haven't had a high pick. I want to say the last highest pick, like, now they've had higher picks since me, like Matthews and Marner and those guys. But I want to say the last high pick within the top five was like Wendell Clark or something like that. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. And the first question is like, hey, the Leafs haven't won the Cup since 67. Like, what are you going to do to change that? I'm like, holy smokes, I got this jersey on here. Like, what do I even say to this? I'm just like, I'm just trying to hope to make the team one day. But yeah, like, to answer your question, I mean, you go in there and you understand there's pressure. And, you know, one time I picked up like the newspaper as a young guy in a rookie camp, and it was just like carving me. And I'm like, okay, well, I won't make this mistake again.
No, don't pick paper. That.
Like, so you kind of learn to live almost a little bit like trying to block things out a little bit at the time too, like, which is like, we're dating ourselves a little bit here, but there wasn't like crazy social media or nothing right. Like that.
True. That's like, yeah. Good point. That's a good
so,
point.
So it was like radio and, you know, newspaper and, you know, obviously everything's blown up, but even like Twitter just kind of started getting going, but I wouldn't get on that.
Right.
But yeah. The expectations are crazy. And the team, obviously, we were like a lottery pick team every year. And so you know, you always kind of try to take those next steps, but you know, there's not like, if you're walking into pick Tampa, I guess, as an example, like if you're coming in as a young guy, like the pressure's not on you. It's on all the veteran,
exactly.
You know, guys who've been there before, and you kind of get to develop at your own pace. Where if you go to a team like that in a market like that, things typically happen a little bit faster. But no, I remember Riley, I always remember going into Philadelphia. I remember going into Philadelphia my first year and seeing guys like you in warmups. Like you got the long hair, the clothes on. I'm like 18 or whatever. And who else is on the team? Like you guys were so tough at the time. Like Asher was there.
Yeah.
Prongs was there.
Prong Dad, yeah. Carbon would have been there.
Yeah.
Carcillo.
Yeah. All these guys. Like even Hartsey, you guys were flipping your hair up in the warm-up and stuff like that. And I'm like 18 and you know, you try to play like I'm a physical defense. When you try to play like a heavy game, but I'm just like looking at you guys and warm-ups. I'm like, okay, I'm not fucking ready for this. I gotta fake it. I'm like, okay, don't look at these guys the wrong way tonight. Cause like it's pumped, right? But then you gotta kind of play the role. But I'm just, yeah, I remember like, you know, you go into situations like that and you're like intimidated, but you can't necessarily act intimidated. And all of a sudden
right. The
game's changed since then. But
yeah,
not to get off subject here, but man, you got going into your guys' building back, like I guess it would have been 13 years ago or whatever. Like it was a scary place to play.
You think how raw you are at 18 years old. I mean, yeah, you say like you're drafted as, well, you know, you're fifth overall and you have all these high expectations, you're big body, physical guy, but it's a whole other animal going, you know, pros. Even if you're in the American League, there's some complete meathead, you know, tough dudes that are full men. And, you know, it's, I can't imagine like coming in at 18 years old and having to like flex your muscle a little bit or at least have the ability to stand up if you had to, right? Because I was like, you know, a little bit further into my 20s, but when I, you know, eventually found my way. So there was that, you know, that 3, 4, 5 years of growing into more of a man than being 18. I can't even imagine, man. That's a good different animal.
It's crazy. I like a lot of times guys will like, you know, our men's league buddies, Riles, or just friends are talking hockey and, you know, it's a 18 or 19 year old kid. And they're like, oh, say something. I'm like, the fuck were you doing when you were 8? Think about when you were 18 years old. If you were out there in front of 20,000 people with all this going on, I'm like, dude, I was chasing box around at college, you know, like shooting hoops. No pressure, man. You know, I'm a freshman, you know, I'm 18. And I'm just having fun. These guys are, you know, in the big league. I mean, this is the top thing.
How long ago was this? Aren't you still like 26 years old?
That's the best one I've had in a while. Take that. Everybody's telling me I got to go with 40 now. They said, you don't look 35. I stuck on 35 for a while, Lukey.
Your age, but you haven't aged at all. I mean, you have me for it, but yeah.
He's got the cure, man.
Are you?
Yeah.
The aging cure.
I remember your one line you'd always say to me. Probably shouldn't repeat on this on pod or whatever, but yeah, you had a couple good lines.
It's all right.
What your age? So.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's okay, man. It's okay. You just say hey real quick. Go ahead and hurry up.
Say, hey, LV, man. What's going on, man?
Say congrats, man.
Do you listen to Buck Chetty when you work out?
Every time I hear that, I think of you now.
He thinks of us when he hears Buck Cherry.
I need to tell Elvis I need a couple more videos coming my way. I haven't seen any lately.
Okay, we'll get some. Riles was just talking about it earlier.
You check out the feed this morning.
I jumped on Instagram this morning and he's doing a live. It's like 30 minutes. I'm like,
rollerblades on carpet.
He's rollerblading in the basement on carpet. I'm like, okay. Anyway, sorry about that, guys.
You wonder where he gets it from. Right?
Oh, he's a mess. He's you. He's a mess. I blame my dad. That's what I always say. But yeah, hey, speaking of one more thing about Toronto, Phil Kessel, you got to play with the thrill. You got to have, I know most of them, but you got to give us one good Phil the Thrill story.
I got so many good stories. Like
we can do two shows.
I remember one time he'd come into the trainer's room every single day and he'd be like, why are we here today? Like, do they not understand days off are good for us? And then like,
why are we
like,
here?
Yeah. Why are we here? Like, Phil, we had a day off yesterday. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, no, like rest is a weapon, all that stuff. And and then one time he came in, this is like a month straight of this. One time the trainer, like the head therapist, is like, Phil, for the boys, like just come in one day. Hey boys, I feel good today. Like it would just fire the boys right up, like put everyone in a great mood. He snaps back dead serious. He's like, bud, I'm telling you, bud, I don't even know what feeling good feels like. Never felt good a day in his life, he said. We're like, oh man. Well then like he's just like so like gifted, right? Like even he's strong too. Like every day was just a war. The head like strength coach would be like, Phil, when you come in the gym, just put your runners on. Like you can't work out in shower sandals every day.
Yeah.
And so he'd be like, yeah, I can, bud. He'd take like no warm up, nothing, like the 90-pound dumbbells, and just start snatching them. Like he's so strong and like
he's a freak, wow. Man. He's a freak, man.
Yeah.
I always when I talk about him, just spending time with him with USA Hockey and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And you look at him. I mean, and then he gets on the ice. I mean, even the 4 years you're in Toronto, he scored 30 goals every year. He scored 37 one year.
He rolls out of bed and scores 30.
He's a freak. He can skate. He can shoot hockey. I mean, he's a great player.
I always remember like we'd go out for dinner right before the game, and there'd be like a group of us. We had a good group too. Like it was like Bozak and like Loophole and all those guys, right?
Yeah, fuck, that's awesome.
Like Clark MacArthur, or whatever. We'd be like, you know, you have a couple glasses of wine right before the game or whatever, and start telling stories. But Phil was always, every day before the game, he'd drink Bloody Marys, and like those things are like heavy, right? Like you can have like one or two, and after that it's like, okay, that's, how can you even bury more, like with a big ribeye, like you'd be,
yeah, right,
can't move after.
Yeah.
And he would have like, you know, I don't even know, six or seven, whatever. But I remember, like, I can't remember where we were, but he just told the waiter, came over, and he'd be like, hey bud, anytime this like gets like just to be a little bit to the bottom, like, I'd even like ask him, just keep him coming, bud. Just keep him coming. I guess, you know, he's just like filling up on Bloody Marys all night. Just like classic.
Oh, man.
Were you telling me, I can't remember if it was you telling me or JBR telling me that he was, wherever he was in the summer, the strength coach there gave him a call and said, hey, I'm flying in. I'm going to hang out with you a couple days, check on you, see what you're doing. And he's like, what? No way. That's baloney. Fuck that. You know, not a chance. No way, man. I'm in the summer. I can't remember if you were telling me that story or if it was JVR, but they were telling me, and I was just crying, man. He's a beauty, man.
He's an all-timer.
I love
what a career though he's had too.
Oh, it's amazing, hey.
Unbelievable.
He hasn't even missed a game in like 900
so
games.
So durable. Yeah.
Hey, you know what, Lou? I don't know if you know this. The last time I was in Pittsburgh, they had this, they made this really nice, the game Twister, where you spin the dial. They had a thing like that for Phil, and it said, how will Phil feel today? And it had a spin, and it had all his little one-liners, like you said, why are we here, you know? One's like, I'm hurting today, you know, like all these, like there's like 10 different sayings, and when you're reading them, you're hearing him say it in your head. Oh, you know, man. How he talks, it's so great. And I actually took a picture of the thing. I have it somewhere. It was so, I couldn't believe, I'm like, what an idea. But he must not have liked it, because they had it in the back of the equipment room there. So, but anyway, he's a special human. I wanted to get one story from you.
He's an all-timer. Yeah. It's, wouldn't it be nice to just be that gifted? Hey, Riley.
Oh my God. It's remarkable how you'd be able to stay in good enough shape for that long, but stay healthy, you know, like somewhat healthy. I mean, what the hell?
But like, think how hard like you've had to work, or like guys, just like the time you put in, like just to get there and stay. But like,
oh my God,
just have it. Like, I don't want to say giving it to you, because he's producing stuff, but like just that natural ability. Like some guys just got it. Like it's good for them. Lucky them.
Good for them. That's it.
I know. He's
there's not many guys that can do it like how he does. We've talked to a couple, but you know, I think Jake Voracek there is one of them. He's like, what did he say, Nasty, when we had him on?
If I stretch, I'll get hurt.
Yeah, if I stretch, I get hurt. Or like Marty Brodeur is like the one summer he worked out. He like blow he out his biceps and stuff like that. It's like, the guys, there's not many guys that can do that, especially this day.
Jake is hilarious too. Hey, same thing. Like he'd be like this. He'd come in the weight room and be like, oh, so tight today. Oh, I feel so sore. You'd be like, Jake, why don't you get treatment? He'd be like, oh, because you lose power. You lose power and you get treatment. And you're like, oh, like, how does that even make sense? Like, you can't move. Your back's so stiff. But yeah, if you, like, get work on, you're going to not be able to skate? Like, how does that even make sense, Jake?
Yeah, Lukey, the last couple years he started, like, we always did these little things and warm-ups, but his thing we started doing the last couple of years when I was with him, he would take a few laps and he'd come over, he'd grab the water, you know, he'd always go like shake his head like he had hair down to here, you know like it was just long hair, he'd like shake his hair, and like I would laugh, of course. I don't know, I thought it was funny every single day when he did it.
Yeah.
But then he goes, well, that's, I feel pretty fucking good. I feel like I'm about 40 fucking 5 years old today. And then some days he would be, fucking feel like I'm fucking 60. You know, like, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So, but if he was below 50, he was going to have a good game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember us one night, we were having dinner and we're, you know, having some drinks. And I'm like, seriously, like, why don't you try to stretch, like, even a little bit at night? You know, like, seriously, I'll guarantee you feel better in the morning. Like, if you start doing it, you know, and Riles is probably thinking, what are you talking about, Nas? Because I give a shit about his yoga. But for Jakey, I'm like, literally, you know, Jakey can't touch his toes. Like, he can't touch his toes. But he's so powerful, right? He goes, Nasty, if I fucking do that, I'd get hurt. He goes,
yeah.
I like to be tight. I'm faster. I have more explosive. I'm like, so something just goes pop. This is so fucking, knock wood, of course. I don't want that to happen to him. But
well, it's so funny, and like in Philly too, like there's always those 1 o'clock games on Saturdays and Sundays or whatever.
Yeah.
And be like, just like Jake would just come, like, looking to shove. Like, usually get up, like, have a pregame meal at like 8 or 9 in the morning, get to the rink at 10. He's like storming in at 11, like last guy did. Yeah. Hey, Jake, do you have anything for breakfast or like pregame meal? Oh, but no. I just anti inflamming a banana. That's it.
Anti inflamming a banana.
And then he'd go have, like, you know, a goal and 3 assists.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, how do you do this? Yeah, and then he's ripping it up again.
Oh, he's amazing.
That is classic.
So, Toronto, you're there 4 years, big trade this summer. You come to Philly and you get a chance to play your brother. Like, I can't imagine. Well, I got to meet you that summer before you even came, because we did the thing in Atlantic City.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the Bauer event. So I got to meet you then. But what a cool experience, because I know your brother, you and your brother didn't really get to play together on a team, so to say, play together. I'm sure you practiced and everything together. But, you know, how excited were you for that?
Well, you know, it's crazy how it all worked out, because dating back even like a few years before that, four years before that, I got drafted to Toronto. Brayden got drafted to LA the next year. So we went back-to-back years. But he went 5th overall, and actually I think Toronto was trying to trade up to 4 or 5 or whatever to get Brayden. So we actually thought we were going to play together potentially in Toronto. Oh, and then he goes to LA, and then like a year, I think he was maybe under their, like, in their system for a year or two, but like played maybe 5 or 6 games as like an 18 or 19 year old. He gets traded in that Richards trade, him and Simmer.
Yep.
And then he's there. Was he here a year or 2 years before me? I think a year, right?
Yeah. You came in 20.
I think he came a year before me. But anyways,
no, literally. Yeah, he, 1 year before, because he came. Yeah. He was there 11, 12. You came 2012.
Yeah. And then a year later to the day, I think I got traded pretty much for JVR there. But it was weird because it was at the draft when I got traded. But it was day one of the draft. And Brayden had lived with Claude Giroux his rookie year out in Voorhees. They lived together.
Yeah.
And G obviously is pretty dialed in that organization and had kind of a inside scoop that, you know, there's talks anyways of potentially happening. And we thought, you know, on the day one of the draft, and then nothing happened. So I woke up the next day like, guess that kind of blew over and still in Toronto. And then all of a sudden get a phone call that afternoon that coming to Philly. And then I remember Berkey called me. He's like, hey, like, whatever. Obviously, they got JBR. He's a hell of a player. You know, he's, what a career he's had too. But Berkey called me. He's like, hey, you know, like, we didn't want to trade you or whatever. But, like, you know, if there's one place I'd trade you, I wanted you to go with your brother. And I was like, whether it's true or not, like, hey, that's
yeah.
Like, you know, so I got, Brayden and I got to play together for, I guess it was like 3.5 years in Philly.
Yeah, which is, it was. Yeah, almost 4.
Unbelievable. Like, just the whole experience. Like, obviously, the games, itself, but just the whole experience and the lifestyle, like, you know, driving to practice together every day, like breaking down the game from the night before, like, what do you think of this or that, or dinners on the road, like with the same crew of guys and rookie parties and, you know, just that whole experience. Like, that's, the games are one thing, but just to kind of like be in the dressing room with your brother all the time and, you know, kind of going through the ups and downs of them. It's just, you know, we were younger too. I feel like, I don't want to say take it for granted, but looking back, it makes you appreciate like how special that was.
Yeah.
And I always say this too, like playing with them, you know, like being an older brother, especially, like, you know, you're kind of always looking out for him out of the corner of your eye too. And like, you want him to do so good. And it's much easier playing with him than playing against him. Like, he's the forward trying to score and I'm the defenseman. And, you know, we both try to play like a physical game. Like, we both don't like playing one against one another. Cause like, it's just so much easier playing with each other right now.
Yeah,
back right. Against one another. And it's just a totally different situation, but yeah, we're so lucky to, you know, have that same group of friends in Philadelphia, experience everything. Like I said before, everything that goes along with it, and go to, you know, live in the city together, do dinners and go to Eagles games, just all that sort of stuff. It's just like, you look back and some of the memories and the pictures we have, and it's just like blown away. Like, you know, we're the brothers on the team that we'd have a dad's trip every year and our dad got to come for both of us.
That's just cool.
Yeah. Like stuff like that. Right. So yeah, fond memories in Philly, and what a special place. And to be able to do it with Braden, it's just, you know, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It was really cool. And I just remember how excited he was, and, you know, you guys are both such great guys too. It was funny, Riles. I think we said this when Braden was on with us, but his buddy, like, they come in the morning, Shenner, what's up? They're both turned, hey, what's up? You know,
it's every day.
Like, every single day. Like, okay, it's not fun anymore, boys. Because they both turn.
Yeah, Harry sharpening skates every single time, like walking through like that entrance. And,
yeah.
You know, both probably got our head down like early in the morning or whatever. Hey, Shenner, we both look, take a step back, and it's like, got you again. And you're like, okay, Harry. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Day 90 of the season. Like, but of course, we laughed every time. And then, you know, it's hilarious. I mean, yeah, it's all good memories in Philly. Pretty special place to play, and, you know, and have your younger brother there with you. It's a dream come true. Just wish we would have won there a little bit more.
Yeah, we had tough years. Those years, you're right. going to LA, when you, I remember we were getting ready to, we were all going on the road. I think we were going to many, exactly where we're going. And I came downstairs, Riggs, and Lukey's in the hallway, and he's like, yo, man, comes give me a hug. I'm like, yeah, I'll see you in a minute. Head to the airport, bro. And he's like, I just got traded. I'm like, no one even told me. Like, I'm the equipment guy. Like, I'm like, what? He goes, no, I was like, don't fuck around, Luke. He goes, no, I wouldn't joke about that. And I'm like, where? And he's like, LA. And I'm like, oh, lucky fucker, you. You know, going down. And I'm like, no, but are you for real? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, sad. But now I'm like, the plane's packed, like, except for the skates. So we pull the skates, you know, like, we got to go unpack the plane and everything. But going to LA, like, I know you're only there for a short time. What was that? Was that a good time? I mean, did you guys make the playoffs that year? I think you made the playoffs, didn't you, in LA?
Yeah. Well, going back to that story, actually, that's kind of like an interesting story, because I found out about the trade sort of the night before that there was wind of it happening, but it was me and Vinny LeCavier.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, you know, Vinny's still a good buddy of mine. Like, we hung out all the time in Tampa, but he obviously didn't have the best experience in Philly and kind of didn't play a ton, and, you know, Hall of Fame career or whatever. And he just, whether it was opportunity or whatever, I mean, who knows looking back, but he was out of the lineup for a long period of time. And he always kept working, like, just hopefully get a chance, like, hopefully someone trades for me or whatever. So the night before that trade happened, I got word that, you know, we could potentially be going to LA, and Vinny is part of the trade. But part of the deal was that Vinny had 2 years left on his deal after that year. And I think, like, LA had a bunch of cap issues going forward. And so Vinny's like, hey, I just want to come play, get one more crack at the playoffs, and I'm done after. Like, I'm going to retire. And left a bunch of money on the table. But I think there was a bunch of, like, that's why you guys are waiting on the runway forever. Like, I knew I was being traded, but I think the league or whoever was checking into the situation basically being like, well, can you accept a trade like with a contingency? Like you're going to self like volunteer to retire after or whatever, which he was going to retire anyways. So, right. But I remember there was like a conference call with him and whoever else, part of the Kings organization and Flyers, like to approve this trade. So I had been traded and Vinny had been traded, but you always got to have the trade call. And this one was taken like a really long time.
Yeah.
So it was to the point where I was like, well, maybe I'm not like, maybe I'm coming to Mini now. Right.
Yeah.
So,
you guys were sitting in your cars, right? Like you were, we were on the plane and you guys were sitting in the,
yeah. Like that, that fence at the airport in Philly, like you guys were waiting there. And so Braden eventually is like, okay, I guess I got to go on the plane, which was tough. Like that was the worst part.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was saying goodbye to all you boys and all the teammates and everything. But, you know, knowing that you're not going to have that experience with your brother again.
Yeah.
So he walks onto the plane and it's like you're saying goodbye to like your long lost lover.
At yeah.
The
yeah.
Sitting in the car. And finally, it's like an hour's going by and like an hour and a half. And then all of a sudden, like Braden's text was like, what's going on? Like, why aren't you leaving? And I was like, I don't know if this trade's even going to go through now. And so eventually it ended up getting going through. You guys took off to Mini and I ended up going to LA. But that's kind of actually how that trade happened. But I mean, LA was awesome. Like, it was actually. Living wise, like what else can you do? Like,
yeah, no, right.
There. Living in Hermosa, Manhattan Beach, and yeah, we had a really good team. That was actually the year we lost in the first round in game 6 or 7, I think, to San Jose, and that's when San Jose went to the finals and lost to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you guys were in every game. It was like there were over. It was like one goal games, like every game.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We had a great time and a great team. I mean, and you know, even you look back, like that's a team that. Could have won a cup. Like you had,
yeah.
I mean, your center icemen were like Kopitar, Carter, Vinny. And then you have like guys like Lucic were on the team, Gabrick.
Yeah.
Right.
Toffoli, Pearson, like Versteeg they traded for.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Guderi, like all these guys. Right. So, you had a really good team and just kind of San Jose got hot at the right time. And, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Everywhere you play, it's like good memories and it's cool. Cause you know, you guys know, it's like, it's all about the people too, like who you're around and good guys everywhere. Like you can play anywhere. If you're with a good group, it's all fun. So.
Yeah. Did Dean Lombardi call you up and have any like funny or odd moments with you? Because just about everybody I know that went in there, I know Braden had a great story about him. Chris Versteeg had a really good one about going up there, and Dean says to him, what's that dirt on your arm? He says, what? He says, it's the ink, the tattoos. He's like, oh, it's a bike. He's like, oh, you ride bikes? He goes, well, no. He goes, oh, you're a pretender. You know, for Steve's like 30 seconds in, I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, what's wrong with this guy? You know?
He called me and Braden McNabb into his office. And I knew McNabb. He's a Saskatchewan guy. So we knew each other. And he's like, hey, I envision you guys playing together and being like a big, mean pair for us or whatever. And we're like, me and Nab are like on the other side of the desk from him. And we're kind of like nudging each other, like, okay. Like, and then Dean just keeps going. And he like kind of like unveils like through like this, like sort of, I don't know if there's like a blanket over top of it. And it's a poster of me and McNabb on it. What's that Quentin Tarantino movie?
Quentin Tarantino movie. Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, but he's got us. So he's got the characters of the movie, like with like all their gear on, but me and McNabb's face cut out above these guys, and they're like assassinating guys and stuff.
Come on.
Yeah. And he's like, this is what I want you to be. And I'm like looking at Nabb and I'm like, I'm like waiting for like, where's the punchline? Like, is he going to start laughing at us?
Yeah.
And he went on for like 20 or 30 minutes about like, this is what these people do in the movie, and this is how it's going to translate to you on the ice, all that stuff. And we're like looking at each other, and I'm like, get out of the office, and I look at Nabber. I'm like, is he serious? He's like, yeah, this is the type of stuff you're gonna start seeing. So I was like, okay, but yeah. And then we ended up like not even playing together. Like Daryl Sutter had us a different game later, but it was like this whole thing that I'm just like, holy smokes!
What did you think of Daryl? Because we've got a million Daryl Sutter stories as well. How was he?
I absolutely love Daryl. I mean, everyone's got different opinions and whatever, but. He's like an old school Western guy. And at the end of the day, like I love and respected the fact that like, he didn't give a shit who you were. It was just like, you show up in work, and if you're playing like shit, like it doesn't matter. Like if the first power play unit is like, you know, not getting anything accomplished, but they're just not working, you'll just throw out the fourth line, like go take the next, go start the power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the guys on the bench,
like, yeah, I respect that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, what the hell? And you're like, well, I don't give a shit. Like, but, no, the one funny story about him is like me and Vinny LeCavier always talk about this too. Cause we came in together, new guys, like used to like, you know, the speeches and stuff. But, I guess the year before we got there, they stayed at like the Ritz Carlton's and the Four Seasons and all the nice hotels on the road, like teams, you know, typically do.
Yeah.
And I guess their road record was just horrible. So he thought that the guys were being pampered and spoiled and all that stuff too much.
Of course.
So we got the team service guy the next year to, you know, downgrade the hotels and rough it up a little, like not rough it up, but in terms of what the guys are used to. So he had everything changed, like the Westin and all that sort of stuff. And the road record, of course, was incredible. So
that's why.
Yeah. So we get there and, you know, not making any, just kind of guys are telling us the story, right? But yeah, this is why we're in the hotel this year. So then in playoffs in LA, just because it's a bit of a commute from Manhattan Beach to the Staples Center, they always go down just in playoffs and do morning skate at the Staples, but they spend the night before, you know, the two new hotels right across from the Ritz and stuff LA downtown. Lock,
area.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for playoffs, they move the players back to the Ritz at like, you know, even though it was in LA night before the game, guys would get together for a meal and have meetings and do whatever. So sure enough, we lose the first game at home. Second game, we're going to the third. We're down again. And Daryl comes in. He starts snapping. He's like, fucking knew it. Fucking Ritz Carlton. Fucking. And he's like, Dewey, fucking bed too soft? Bed too soft? Why are you playing soft? Why are you playing? And it's just like, and you're like in a playoff game right now. You're trying not to laugh, but you're like dying laughing inside. And he comes up. He leaves the room, and guys are like shaking their heads. Like, yeah, we're down. But because of the fucking Ritz Carlton Hotel.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I love Daryl. Like, I thought, you know, if you give a good, honest effort and compete, like, there's no issues. So that's really, you got to respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chief told me a good story. He played for him in Calgary when Chief was playing in Calgary, obviously. And he said, I can't remember. You may remember from being around that area, the line with Genla, Conroy, and there was another guy, and I never can remember the other guy on that line, but he says they were just having a tough night, and the third period starts, their first shift is just horse shit. So Chief's sitting beside Iggy, and there's Conroy, like, because Chief's like, I'm the grocery stick, you know, I'm just sitting there. And he says, Daryl leans over him, he's like real calm, and he puts his arms and goes, hey, game's a little too tough for you guys. I want you to sit here the rest of the night. Take it easy, boys. And he said he didn't play him another minute. He played the whole third period. He's like, I'm trying not to laugh because I don't want to, you know, but he's like looking at these two and they're like, fucking kidding me? He said, didn't put him back on the ice. He said, it's unbelievable. Oh, man. That's why I always. Right.
Yeah. It's not a joke to him. He's thinking, and then
Boosh can do some good imitations of him with his tie undone down, you know, like in his stance, room pointing, man.
Spitting on the floor.
Yeah, spitting. That's what he said, spitting on the floor. Chief said they used to come in there and they'd have the music going. He's like, I was one of the first guys in the room. And, you know, it's like just like 4 o'clock, right? And he's like, we're in there and the music's kind of loud. I'm like, maybe taping my stick. He said, I don't know why, because I didn't really need one. But he says, you know, I'm talking to whoever's there, and Daryl comes in. He's like, he just sneaks up on you, and he's like, you guys better be fucking ready. He's like, we can barely hear him because the music's so loud. And Chief's just like laughing. He's like, it's 4 o'clock, man. We just got here having a coffee. But anyway, I always ask about Daryl just because I've heard so many funny
stories. Yeah, he's the best.
He looks like a character from the bench though too, without knowing any of these stories. You just wonder, like, who the hell is this guy?
Best interviews ever too.
That's what I was gonna say. Nope. Would you blow this whole big question? No. Just look at her, he looks like a cartoon character. He does look like a cartoon character.
Some out of the Simpsons.
Oh man.
You know, the following year you land up in Arizona and play under Tocket. I mean, that must have been an experience. How was he as a coach?
Well, actually, the first year I was in Arizona, Tip was the coach.
Oh, and Tip, then, yeah, that's right.
And then Tip ended up leaving there, and you know, I don't know, something happened, I guess, behind the scenes with, I don't know, management or ownership or whatever. And then, yeah, Talk came in the second year. Talk was awesome too. Obviously similar sort of coach as far as like, you know, like a chief type of guy, right?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
When, he wants like guys to play heavy and you know, compete and just sort of like that old sort of Flyers mentality too. Right. Yeah. Like obviously coaches a lot, probably how we played. And, the one thing he's like really good at and underrated is like, he sometimes like almost like puts himself in a position. You're like, is this guy the assistant coach or the head coach? Cause he's out there like working with guys all the time, like on drills, like before and after practice. Like he's like the first guy out there and he's the head coach, which typically like a head coach is like last one on, first guy off.
Right.
Yeah.
Talks out there like running drills. And next thing you know, he's got a group of 10 guys in the corner, like half an hour before practice, like working on, you know, shooting drills. And you're like, oh man, like Talk's like friggin' on. Like, yeah. That's why guys like loved him in Pittsburgh and stuff too. Right.
But yeah. Yeah.
He kind of brought like the same sort of mentality where he didn't really give a shit if he was head or assistant. It was just like, I'm going to try to make these guys better and work with the young guys. And so he was good. Yeah. Easy guy to talk to. And, you know, probably, you know, Arizona's just like, it was tough back then just because, you know, obviously they got different ownership now and stuff, but, you know, it's just tough to kind of like, sometimes you go into arenas and you're playing with like half the salary cap, you know, next to the other team. And if you lose that night, you know, like 5-2, you're like, well, you know, if you actually have that extra money to spend on your lineup, it's like a different story sometimes. But yeah, that's probably where like, you know, some things in Arizona obviously have happened in the past, but you know, obviously it seems like they got it now on the right track and good ownership and stuff and GM. But that's great spot to play, great living. But yeah, just from like the business side, that was obviously probably a little bit of a change coming from a place like Philly or LA.
Yeah, right, sure.
Right. It's such a great place. Like you're saying, it's such a great place to live. I feel like they put that arena in the wrong area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone,
you know what I mean? I feel like you'd have way more people attending. And obviously the more you win, the more you're going to have obviously better. I mean, look at Carolina, like I'm from there and they've been pretty successful under Hot Rod, Rod Brendamore. So right. their attendance has been good. Well, once they could get back to it. But in Carolina, Luke, you know, you've played there how many times when their team's not that great, man. I mean, you're like counting, like everybody's dressed up as red in red tonight. Cause you know, all the empty seats, but I feel like
Florida too, right?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's a shame because they built that arena in the middle of nowhere too. I mean, not the middle of nowhere, but there's no one there. You have to like, everyone's got to drive in to get there.
But like you said though, like if you put together like some winning seasons or like a string of games together, like people show up like in Florida now, like there's a buzz there where like we played there in the first round this year with Tampa and it was like,
that was some war. Of the wildest
fans ever. Like it was insane there. Like it was crazy. And I mean, like it just goes back. If you have results, like you said, Carolina, Arizona or whatever, like people are going to come.
Yeah.
It just, you know, but when you have some tough years year after year, and you know, it's just, that doesn't work out, especially with the arena in the wrong location. So.
Yes. Speaking of that Florida series, man, that was a heavy series. Like,
guys are looking back, like after the playoffs and be like, that one could have went either way. Like that was a tough series. Like they're big, they're skilled. They're fast. Like just, that was a grind, and they're going to be like, they got even better this summer too. Like they're going to be really good team. So they got some good stability in there. They got, you know, Quenneville in their coaching now. And they got a nice thing going there. Got some players that have really, you know, they're not young guys anymore. Barkov and Hubert on those guys that are pretty, pretty nasty players. So,
I was going to ask you, Luke, you know, going back to when you first landed up in Philly, what your thoughts were having a guy like Nasty floating around the locker room, coming from TO, a little more conservative.
Get this guy out of here.
Like, who is this guy?
I was like, okay, so much energy and so much life. Like, how long can you keep this pace up? Kept it up the entire time I was there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, are you going to burn out at any time? Like, hey, Nas, what'd you get up to last night? Tells you, like, yeah, I slept like an hour and a half. I'm, you know, getting the gear ready at like 5 a.m. unloading bags or like, you know, getting guys' skates going or whatever. And you're like, okay, well, you must go crash hard this afternoon. Nope, you're going to go for whatever you run, work out, whatever the hell you do. Just have a Red Bull, get ready to go for the game. Like,
a little redsy.
Yeah, playing sewer ball with the boys. Like, it's just, when is this, like, when is this ever going to stop? And just,
that was fun.
Keeps having more energy and keeps getting younger. I mean, got the elixir, Nass. Why don't you share it with us?
I know.
But Nass, you work your ass off too. Like, I tell you that.
Appreciate,
like,
you saying that, man.
No, there's, you know, like, in the, sometimes there's, you go to teams or organizations and you like pick your spots, like, with, hey, can I go to this guy for this? Like, it might be like a little shit issue with your equipment, or I really want to bother a guy, but you know, you could always go to you and you'd always, oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you like sprint to it. Yeah, get it done. And come right back, here you go. And you're just, you're the man.
Ah, thanks for saying that, buddy. I appreciate it. Hey, yeah, it was fun, man. I'll tell you what, I had a good run, man. 26 years, long time to be.
That's very long time.
Yeah, very, very lucky, man. Never took a day of it for granted either. I'll tell you that. Your cup party this year, you actually got to really have one. How was it? Like, well, first of all, how was it in Tampa? It looked nuts. So the one day it was raining, didn't stop anything. Yeah. It didn't stop anything. How was that? I mean, I guess you guys did it on boats, right? Is that really what happened? Like, you had the parade like that way?
Yeah, well, like, so we won it last year in the bubble, the first one. And we came back and we're like, well, how's this parade going to work with COVID? And I don't think they'd ever done like a boat parade for anything. And they're like, well, let's do a boat parade. You're like, well, how is this going to work? Like, what is there going to be 40 boats floating around and the odd person on the sideline cheering you on? Like, it's but there was thousands of boats and like, it was just insane. Like, there was even last year, like, there's no COVID. People are like out the side of like condos downtown and like office buildings, like hanging out like the balconies and like lines deep. It was just insane. Like, people are just, I mean, it'll, you'll throw like, or you open a bottle of champagne and like the police boat's next to you, you'll spray it all over the cops in the boat. Like, they're like trying to get, you know, sick of
the champagne. They want, that's awesome.
Oh, man. It was unreal. But like, and then they told us too, they're like, cause when you hoist that cup, like on the, like the deck of a boat, like on the tip of it, you're holding it up and showing all the people and stuff. You're lifting it up and there's, you know, champagne spilled everywhere. And it's slippery and that cup's heavy.
Yeah.
Your number one thing is like, do not drop this in the water. But they told us.
Could you imagine? Oh my God.
There was a dive team beside the boat, whoever had a cup and stuff too. So like, really? if it ever dropped, they'd have to go down and grab it. And they were prepared for all that stuff. But then we got to do it the next year, which was even, you know, better because the fans knew what to expect. The Bucks did it too, which like.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Bucks, and then, yeah, we did it twice. So it's kind of like a thing now where, you know, it's the boat parade day and people just live for it. And it's pretty special to do. And it was better this year because we were able to have like, you know, more family and relatives and friends and stuff come down. So what's Elby popping up there? Has he got a question? Oh,
dude, no, there's, you never know.
I'm just joking. I'm surprised he's not running this podcast yet.
Oh, he runs his own. I should have sent you. I think I sent you the video. I may have. I don't know if I sent it to you the other day, but he said his the Elvis podcast. What it was, it he was talking about hot chicks that day. That's what his podcast was that day. But
there's a market for that.
Yeah, there is. There definitely is. There definitely is. But
hot chicks, man. Shift gears a little bit.
You know, they're calling Tampa now the City of Champions. All they had to do is bring you in, Tom Brady, and the Big Rig, and look what happens, man.
Yeah.
Champa Bay.
You know? Champa Bay. That's even better. Yeah. But getting to have a real party at home.
Right.
That must say. And our buddy Rosie Riley brought him up earlier. Good buddy of yours as well, obviously, out there. But how was that? How was your party? Just awesome. It's a stupid question, but.
Yeah, well, like, it was actually like a 2-in-1, like, not to keep bringing up, you know, both are, but last year, because of COVID, we didn't get to have it. Like, the cup didn't cross the border, which is crazy. So, if we actually didn't win it this year, we wouldn't have got a day with the cup, which, like, that's kind of, like, one of the best parts about it is getting to show all your friends and family and drink out of it. But, it was incredible. Like, it was everything you dreamed of. I brought it to Kelowna. We had family and friends over. Rosa was one of the guys that came and stayed with us. And he actually just flew in for the night from Calgary.
Oh, wow.
And we brought it on the boat for a bit. I brought it down to the arena where I played junior hockey with the Kelowna Rockets. We did some stuff there, and a bunch of people came out and, you know, took some pictures, and yeah, I had a big shaker at night. It was great. And yeah, who else would you know? Oh, Hartsy was there. He was.
Oh yeah, star. I saw that. Yeah. Oh, was he? Was he first star? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's great. He was.
Yeah. It started out because it was like strange where like there's like a lot of like former players that had never won it, and they're like, I don't know if it's like the proper thing to do, like, you know, drink out of it. And I'm like, boys, like, you're retired, like,
yeah, I mean, yeah,
drink right? out of the it. Tradition.
Like, yeah, exactly, like, you know, there's no going back now. And then guys are like a little bit hesitant. You get a couple drinks and guys, next thing you know, guys won't put the thing, like, won't,
they would put it down. Yeah.
So yeah,
Hartsy's doing keg stands on the Stanley Cup or what?
It was so funny too, because yeah, like earlier on in the night, he's like, I don't know if I can stick around too much longer. Cause like, you know, Katie, his wife's pregnant, got the other two kids at home, and I don't think they had much help for like family. Like, I don't think they got family staying with them or his brother was in town from New Brunswick or Ottawa or something like that.
Okay.
So he's like, hey, Katie's going to get back. She's pregnant. I got to get up like with, you know, my brother and his kids are in town, you know, sorry. Like if I have to bail a little early, I'm like, yeah, no, do what you want, Hartsy. It's fine. Next thing you know, I look over. It's like 2:30 in the morning. Hartsy's just giving her stuff. <I'm> like,
Frank, the thanks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he was probably feeling it the next day. But yeah, no, it's nice to have like guys like that, that, you know, you've had so many good memories with and teammates and kind of been through that grind with. And like Hartsy, like I admire that guy's career. And like, you know, he played how many years and games and just so tough to play, like, competitor and all that. But he, you know, that's one guy that you'd be like, I want his name on the cup, like, as bad as you want your own, right? Like, guys like that deserve it.
Yeah.
And you know, unfortunately, like, you know, not everyone has the chance to hoist it. But you know, for a guy like him to come to my party and jump right in and, you know, be one of the boys and celebrate just as hard, like, it was, that's kind of what makes it special, is, you know, you got all your family and friends who are unrelated to hockey, but then you get a lot of the hockey boys that come in and, you know, they're pumped up for you, which is, it's just so special. People understand kind of the tradition of it and, you know, what it takes to win it. And it's just a day to celebrate, and some celebrate harder than others.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I remember I went up to Kenora to Richie's after they won their second one. And that's one of the things I was going to ask you is, like, I mean, he had to go everywhere all day. Like, this, we were going like places. Right. Me and I'm like in the back seat. I'm putting the seatbelt on the Stanley Cup, and I'm like, dude, I can't touch this thing. He's like, you're not gonna win that thing in Philly. Don't. I'm like, fuck. Right. He's just busting my balls, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm like not touching it. I never touch it. Now I'm like, damn, I should have drank out of the damn thing. Him and Cabby came up too with us, and they were eating Lucky Charms out of it, and I wanted to so bad. But
well,
I,
you know,
never
what's funny
did.
Is so when Brayden had it, Brayden brought it to Saskatoon for his cup party. I guess it would have been 2 summers before. And that was like, obviously I hadn't won it. And I was thinking the whole thing too, like, don't touch it, you're not going to win it or whatever. Whether it's right or wrong, but like, that's just what you're always told, right?
Right, right.
So then everyone's like, well, like, drink out of it. So I went and grabbed, I found a straw that was like 4 feet long.
I saw that picture.
And I ended up drinking a little champagne, but I didn't touch the bowl. I just had a little sip out of it, but I didn't touch it. And so there's pictures. And then there's pictures of, like, we're kind of like, for, like, he's hoisting it, and I'm kind of like doing like the air hoist, like, beside him, like, not actually holding it. And like, there's some cool pictures. And then you look back, and now, you know, obviously Brayden winning it, he's picking up the cup and pouring it to me. So it was pretty cool to both, you know, both sides of
it. It's amazing.
But yeah, it ended up working out. It ended up working out. Yeah. So that's awesome. It's fun though. That whole cup day, it's just like everything you ever dream of. But we were actually a little bit limited though, as far as like you were dragging it around and you said Kenora and doing a million different things. Like, there's still some fairly intense COVID restrictions in British Columbia right now. I know it's totally different in the States and some parts of Canada, but we're still following some strict guidelines. So you don't, like, there's some things like publicly, and you have to kind of be very careful of. You don't want to be the guy to be bending the rules. But at the same time, Brent Seabrook, he came to my party too. He's in Cologne in the summer, and good buddy of mine, and obviously he'd won it 3 times.
Yeah.
And he told me actually he had great advice. And he's like, hey, like, I know you're trying to do like a million things and you're restricted and all that stuff because of COVID. But he goes, let me tell you, it's like kind of a blessing in disguise, because he's like, my first two cup parties, I brought it everywhere so everyone could see it, everyone in the public. And like, he goes, at the end of the day, like, it's like, I kind of didn't even do anything for myself. And he goes, right, third cup party, I literally just had it at my house and my, you know, it was with my kids, my family. And we just kind of had a day in the backyard and then a party at night. And he goes, that was like my best day ever. So he's like, you literally have no choice but to do that for a lot of your day. So he's like, just take advantage. Like, you'll love it even more. So
yeah,
it's nice to get nice to get advice from a wily vet who's three times. So
yeah, see, it makes sense, right? Doing the whole runaround thing and not really enjoying it, and just feel like you have to like keep up with the with the rest of the people you're trying to impress. But
right,
it sounds like exactly. You had a great experience where at least all your friends and family were able to experience your success and enjoy the time instead of having to be on the clock and running around and the whole bit.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome stuff. I was going to ask you, Luke, and kind of getting off the hockey topic a little bit. I know when you were in Philly, you did some stuff with the firefighters. I know your dad's a firefighter, and I believe you had a charity called Luke's Troops, at least in Toronto. Are you still doing any of that stuff with the troops and military?
Well, actually, that was, yeah, like you said, that was in Toronto. And actually, it's funny because now I'm back playing. It was just easier to do, like, actually, when I was in Canada, just being Canadian stuff with the troops. It was kind of, well, I've always been involved in different charities, but just with the military itself, like, obviously, I have a great ton of respect for any military. And of course, the States is incredible, but just being from Canada, I actually went over to, I'd bring a military member to every home game with the Leafs and like a family member and meet him after the game. And that was a cool thing about that in Toronto was they'd always announce the military member who's like served overseas for a long time up on the big screen. So you could be up 5-0 or you could be down 5-0 and the fans would get out of their seats and cheer for the military member, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And I went over to Kandahar, with the Canadian military, and I was in Afghanistan for like 3 or 4 days. I actually went over there with Berkey, like Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys, a couple other like recognizable Canadians you guys probably wouldn't, like local people. But yeah, that was a cool experience. So then, you know, I got traded from Toronto, so it didn't really work. I actually, Joffrey Lupel took over and called it Luke's Troops.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, he took it over for a bit. But yeah, no, I was thinking about doing it again now that I'm back in Canada. You know, just obviously being Canadian and I guess kind of have like the fact that I was like in Kandahar base, like staying in their sort of dorms and kind of have that relationship. That was kind of one of the things. I've been in the States ever since. So, you know, you do different things for charities, like you said, the firefighters and Philly had a relationship with, just because, you know, my dad actually, he just retired at the fire department in Saskatoon.
I was going to ask you if he's still, that's awesome.
He just retired 30 years. So yeah, you try to do like different things. Obviously you guys know guys are usually pretty good about it. And like, I think G does a ton of stuff around Philly. So like he's pretty good about that stuff. And you try to help out any way you can. Hartsy was also good for it too in Philly, I remember too. So yeah, there's a lot of guys that give back and you always try to help out any way you can.
Yeah. Cool. Really? Yeah. I knew you were involved in that stuff. I wasn't sure. Your involvement with the military type of charities in the U.S. But Nasty and I just finished up playing in a checking for charity tournament this weekend. We played with the Philadelphia Flyers Warriors Disabled Veteran Hockey guys.
Oh wow!
So we're pretty involved with these guys, and they're big supporters. We're supporters of them, and I know, you know, hockey guys or sports guys in general, you know, seem to be on the same page as a lot of these veteran guys, because there's a lot of synergies between the two, but. Mutual respect, I guess you could say, but it was a lot of fun. These guys are a blast, and we got our asses handed to us a little bit, but it was a lot of fun for sure.
It didn't help having it. Exactly. I know I had no business being out there, but it was fun. But Luke, I was going to tell you, on top of that, playing with those guys was like, we were honored. They asked us to play with them. We had a couple other buddies, Pete Zingoni. I don't know if you ever met Pete Zingoni. He played with the Phantoms for a bit, and he played pro for a while, and then Kobe Cohen joined us also. But we almost had a great clip that we could have sent into Hockey Fights, because our boy here, it's pretty hard to get him wound up these days. He just wants to play, And he almost got a little tilly, and I mean really close, really close. I haven't seen him
what
that bad.
Was the guy whacking you? Or what
Yeah.
He whacked me back-to-back shifts like within 30-second span, and he whacked me the first time. I was ready to like just two-hand him right there, and I was like, Riley, just breathe. So then they end up scoring, and then right off that next face-off, the guy lines up and does the exact same thing. He just like tomahawks me off the face-off. So I'm like, dude, are you serious?
He's like, Puck's down in the other end, and Ryle's not letting the guy go. He's like standing in front of him, and everybody on the bench is like standing. It's like everybody's like,
the only thing that stopped me from not fighting him is the fact that he didn't want to fight. But like, I was like, I haven't been like that since I retired. I was like, I was just waiting for him to say yes, and then we're going.
It's probably one of those things. Hey, like he'd look back. Oh, yeah, I gave Riley Cote a towel. Yeah. And then
he's like, oh man, yeah. I did not want to have to get to that point. But like, geez, I'm like.
I don't know, but how dumb are people where, like, look at the guy. Like, obviously, they know who you are. And, like, go look at your tapes. Like, the guy wouldn't be able to see for 2 weeks. Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, you just kind of wonder what the hell, like, if they're trying to impress somebody. But then, like, you get called out on it. And then you just stand there like a jackass. But thankful that I didn't have to fight, because I really don't want to fight. I don't play in these leagues or tournaments to fight, man. I just want to. I want to be a skill guy, man.
He's a snipe, man.
Yeah.
He's the first line. He's the first line center.
First liner, man. You got to be on the ice.
Well, if Nasty's your winger, then frick, I hope you
have I got to play with Riles, I think, the first game. And then they, you know, put me where I belong on a third line because we had three lines.
You got composure there.
We had fun, though. It was a good
one. I did see that picture of you on your Instagram, though. I've seen you guys beside each other on the bench.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering what that is. So that makes sense. But I was wondering, I was like, man, that guy looks like Nasty in someone's gear right now.
Yeah, you know what? So the real quick, that check it for charity, it's huge here every year. And a lot of pros come play in it. Tony D'Angelo had a team. Dude, he had Adam Fox. He had Joel Farabee. Matthias Samuelson. I'm missing like some big names here. Sonny, what's the kid's name from
Milano?
Milano. Sonny Milano, Zegras from Anaheim, the US kid. And they had some other guys. Tony Vos was unbelievable. He was the old guy. Tony's 40 now, I think. And he played for the Phantoms, but he didn't look out of place at all. He played really well. They beat Johnny Gaudreau's team. Johnny's team was not as stacked as normal. But he had the Robinson brothers that both play in the league. They're from here.
That Ross Colton, who plays in Philly, is from out there. He says he trains at like the skate zone.
He played in it. Oh, yeah. He was on D'Angelo's team.
Yeah, he's another guy. Yeah. We always talk about like Philly, and obviously, I don't know. He's somewhere by. He's on the shore somewhere. I think he lives, but he always drives up to train in Philly or in like Voorhees or whatever too. So we always have lots of conversations about that. So he's a good guy.
Yeah, he. I didn't get to talk with him, but it was an actually entertaining final game, and boys are buzzing around. It gets pretty competitive. You know, it starts out, it's a charity thing, but no one likes to lose, man.
It
just takes one little whack and then it turns into two whacks, and then it's a great tournament. You get to choose your charity after, you know, like
that's awesome.
So it was really cool. But Riggs almost got in a tilly. It'd have been his first one in about, 11 years, Riggs?
Yeah.
Been a long time.
That's probably one thing that you haven't lost is being able to chuck those bombs around. Well,
he's 40 pounds lighter. That's one thing.
40 pounds lighter. And
where did you play?
I'm a yogi now, Luke, man. I'm just trying to breathe and feel good. I don't need this tension. And
how big were you when you played, though?
Pardon me?
Like, how big were you when you played?
I think the heaviest I was 220. 215, 220 was the heavier part of my career. Buck 80 now.
Are you really?
Yeah. Lean buck 80, though.
He's lean.
No, I know. I remember talking to you about nutrition and stuff when you were, you know, working with the team back then about what you're into and stuff. And you were even, like, leaning out. That was whatever. Probably 8-9 years ago.
Yeah, I was leaning out there for sure. And I've even like, you know, take it to another dimension or two since then. Cause I just find that I don't need to carry around the extra weight. And I find I get more energy around, you know, intermittent fasting and, you know, realizing that you don't really need a whole lot.
Yeah.
And all I really care about is waking up in the morning feeling good. You know what I mean? Like no inflammation. I feel like, you know, I feel like I'm 20 years old, like before I even started fighting, you know, for a living. So My body's in great shape. Yeah, that's really
I know care about personally. Take care of yourself, that's for sure. So
yeah, once I retired, I started to. Nasty knows my old habits of eating, you know, pretzels and Mountain Dew before games, swashing down some Sudafeds and whatever else.
I always say, like, we lived together one summer for a while, you know, we were getting after it a little bit, you know, like having fun and
just a little.
Just a little bit. But whenever we were heading out, he'd be like, okay, just let's don't stop at Burger King tonight. Cause that was like right near my house. I'm like, yeah, okay. Of course, but it's open all night, you know, 24 hours, 2:30, 3 a.m. Stop. Two big, what do they have there?
Whoppers
with cheese, fries, shakes. He's just fucking, we had him get, I'm like 5 minutes from there and then it's all gone by the time we get to the crib. Oh, he's God. Out. But yeah, no, I don't. You probably haven't had a Big Mac since then, or a Whopper, or whatever the hell it's called. This guy eats like he's like a bird, man.
Yeah, well, you gotta
take care of the temple.
You got
that's
it,
right.
Yeah.
That's right, man. That's right. Man. So
Coolio. Well, I know you got big plans tonight, there, Luke. You got the Hartnells coming over for dinner. Is that the plan?
Yeah. I gotta get downstairs here and start dicing up some stuff for old study.
Yeah, what's on the menu? What are you grilling out
tonight? So Heartsies, I got a little
wagyu. Got a little wagyu going.
No. We stick to the old Alberta beef, or support the Westerners around here.
That's right.
Like I told you guys earlier, Heartsies heading back your way, I think, in a week. Yeah. So he's a good buddy. He just lives down the lake from us, and it's funny how times have changed. You know, he's got two young kids around my kids' age, so the kids actually play together. And
oh, that's awesome. Awesome.
We have a couple glasses of wine early, and they probably take off early to get the kids to bed. So it's not the late night shifts like it used to be, but it's still good to get together and catch up.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Well, tell Heartsy we said what's up, man. We appreciate you hopping on, man. I know you got a lot of things in your plate and getting ready for the season and all that stuff. So we appreciate you carving out the time.
Yeah, I'm honored. I was actually waiting for the call for a while here. Nasty messaged me a couple months ago for a Braden story, and I was like,
yeah,
I didn't even ask. I'm like, well, does this mean I don't get to come on? Like, what
we're letting you stay in the zone. You had a Stanley Cup to win. We're like, it's not bother this guy until he wins.
I know. But yeah, no, I appreciate it. I listen to you guys, and you know, half the guys, you know, you guys have had on there, like, I know you just had on Big Grossy and stuff like that. Like, I'm listening to all those. Like, it's just cool to, you know, through you guys, I'm actually getting like stories of guys I used to play with, which is awesome. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. No one ever really remembers the guy as a player, the plays he made. It's just like, what kind of guy was he? And give us some stories. And like,
so true.
That's what it's all about. Like, you know, I always tell people that is like, you know, you don't remember the games or like the crazy plays, but you'll remember that at dinner that night, this story was told, or this night at, you know, this rookie dinner, and that's all the game is.
That's so true.
That's true, man.
So, but yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it. We know you've been, can't even imagine how swamped you know, it's been for you, but we do appreciate you and love you, man. And thank you so much for joining us, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. Now go take Elby to hockey. And she said he's got a 5 o'clock tilt tonight, or?
He did. He just looked at me and goes, hockey practice.
Yeah, you better get going.
We ain't gonna make it now. I'll take him to the roller hockey rink.
Yeah, right. Let's
fire
hockey.
Some balls off his head. He'll be all fine. Right.
Okay, guys. Well, I appreciate
all right,
it.
Brother. All thanks, right, man.
Thanks again.
Yeah. Thanks, all right, guys. Later. See you this year, maybe.
All right. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. See ya. See you, boys.
See ya. That episode was brought to you by SettleMeyerSkateSharpening.com for all your hockey needs. The best skate sharpening in town. Check out Nasty at SettleMeyerSkateSharpening.com and Body Check Wellness for all your hemp-derived cannabinoid nutrition needs. Check out BodyCheckWellness.com. A big thanks to Luke Shen. What a humble, awesome dude. Amazing success, especially in the last couple of years.
Yeah, especially.
Reconnect. Yeah, I know, right? Hey, you play, 12, 13 years in the NHL, and you win two cups towards the end of your career, man?
He's still got some time, I think.
He's got some time.
He's 31 years old. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Say towards the end of your career. I guess he's been in the league for, 13, 14 years?
It's amazing, man. It's a That's an unbelievable run. And he's only 31. I mean, yeah, I know that's, some people think that's old in hockey years. I guess it just depends on the guy, but he's like, you know, like we talked about with him, he plays within himself, you know, he accepts his role, and guy like that could play a little bit longer than some other guys, you know, that's willing to accept 100%. The role. And you know, he makes the game easier. He settles it down. And he's also a guy that sticks up for his teammates that we didn't talk about that too much, but he's definitely willing to do that. And,
yeah.
He's definitely a locker room guy. He's one of the favorites in every room he's been in, from what I've heard and what I was able to see. So,
yeah, 100%. Great dude, man. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on what you were saying there, because I think he's valuable because he's a good veteran. You know, he's got leadership skills. He knows what he is. He knows his lane. He needs to stay in. And you know, he's affordable. And you know what you can get out of him. He's durable. He takes care of himself. He thinks he's a good guy to have around the locker room. You know, I think that it's challenging for guys in his situation, since he talked about it. He was such a high pick. And there's a lot of pressure on being like this certain level of high pick status that, you know what I mean? You never kind of find yourself. But I think clearly he's found, you know, what he needs to do to stay in the league and get contracts, and, you know, winners sign contracts and winners keep going as long as he stays healthy, which I think, you know, is somewhat in his control, you know, since he takes care of himself and the whole bit. And he's a pro, so nothing but happy for him. And, you know, grateful for his success, because he stuck with it. You know, we talked about the minor leagues there too. You know, he
went
to a couple of shitty places there. You know, especially in your career, it's not the start of your career where you're just kind of like accepting of this. You know, you said he had a kid, he's married, the whole bit. Like, that's challenging times. Even though it's a first world problem, you know, in the NHL.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's the guy's career and his livelihood. So. Nice to reconnect with him. The humble guys. You know, I really like the Shenners.
God, man, great guys.
Wholesome Canadian boys.
Yeah, good old boys. Just most. It's so funny. They're just the most polite guys too. You know, you just tell the way they were brought up, because even when either one of them were pissed off about something, they still were like so polite with the way they asked for something, or you know, they're just fuming, and it's like, tell. Give it to him. Thank you. Like, you don't have to thank me right now. I know you're pissed off, buddy, but they're just such good people.
Yeah.
Come from a great family, you know, met their family, sister and the mom and dad and everything. And, just great guys. So like you said, could be happier for both of them raising that cup up. Now Luke's got the lead. See what, Braden can do there in St. Louis. See if he can get another one.
Exactly. Well, thanks, Luke. Appreciate you hopping on. That wraps up episode 37. Until next week, check us out for episode 38. We got some interesting characters hopping on NAS. We got a few recordings this week, so stay tuned. Until then, stay safe. Have a little fun, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.